This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Nissan. As a pioneer in the electric vehicle space, Nissan is always looking for ways to deliver new, meaningful technologies to EV owners. After all, Nissan has been making EVs since 1947. Their EVs have now traveled 8 billion miles by Nissan Leaf owners since 2010. Yes, my friend, that is 8 billion with a B, the equivalent of driving to Pluto and back, which is not a real planet. Think that's electrifying? One of their EVs trekked all the way to the North Pole, where all the underground government military bases are run. And Nissan even tests their EV technology on the Formula E racetrack.
But Nissan knows that you don't get an EV just for the E. You get a Nissan EV because it makes you feel electric, because it sparks your imagination, it ignites something within you, it pins you to your seat, and it takes your breath away. At least that's what Nissan thinks about when designing their EVs, like the Nissan Ariya and the famous Nissan Leaf. It's about creating a thrilling design that electrifies its customers. Nissan's focus on creating a thrilling drive and an electrifying life. In today's world, it's so important to look around you, to pay attention, to look for all the tiny ways life can electrify you. I like to feel electric by going to dinner, trying new foods, and then being late to my own podcast recording so that my host gets mad at me. But we recover because I never do that. So every once in a while, I need to electrify my life.
That's called edging.
Nissan EVs that electrify. Levels are good, bitch. I checked. How long gone? A snowy lower Manhattan this afternoon. Luckily, none of it's sticking. I know that Glendale is being washed away by torrential downpours. We just can't win, Jason, in this world affected by climate change.
I think I'm just trying to remind myself that summer happens in November now.
Okay, so you're just reorganizing it to work for you.
It's been working. Well, okay. I mean, I'm not reorganizing it. That's kind of a joke, but it's also kind of true. Like it starts getting hot in June, July, and it goes until November, December.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about weather. It's tough. BJ Novak is rain posting on close friends. Like, it's affecting some of our biggest creators.
when the Emmy winners resort to weather posts, you know that things have gotten bad. Well, there's a lot to discuss today. You know, I just rushed back to the apartment, to the studio here, after a nice lunch at Nine Orchard with friend of the show Megan Nolan, who has a new book in the can that we will be getting a copy of soon. But you know, I wanted to talk to you about this kind of hot button issue that's just kind of taken shape on Twitter. You're a music guy, so I'm sure you have an opinion. Okay. This guy tweeted basically that Meg White sucks.
Yeah,
you know, and Meg, if think about the White Stripes, if they would have had a good drummer, obviously he got destroyed. He had to block his account. He had to turn off the replies. He probably had to hide his dog for fear of getting killed. And you know, I think that sometimes, Jason, with drummers, what maybe a regular person doesn't think about, but guys like us, guys with innate rhythm, you know, there's kind of a vibe that you're looking for that kind of goes beyond skill set or being a human metronome, and I think Meg possessed that.
Yes, that's the whole beauty of White Stripes. There's two people: Jack White, technically masterful and proficient at guitar playing, and then Meg White, the exact opposite, all feeling, all emotion, not a lot of technical ability. It's like sweet and sour sauce. You put them together, it's perfect. I mean,
it's us.
I guess it could be us. I'm sweet, you're sour. Who knows? I'm an 99% angel, 1% devil. Who knows what it is? But I saw a couple of responses to that. I think somebody quoted an old Chris Rock line saying, like, I don't know what Hall does to the music, but Oates hasn't made a hit without him. And it's sort of the same thing.
Yeah, that's what,
the exact
exactly,
same thing
exactly.
Has happened to, like, the very first White Stripes album. Really good. You know, powerful songs.
Yeah.
You know, very simplistic, hate it or love it, but everyone was, you know, it changed everything. It was amazing. Jack White's solo career, Not so much.
Jack White's solo career has changed my opinion of him. That's the only thing it's changed. I like him even less. The only cool thing Jack White ever did was punch that guy from the Von Bondies in the face. Legendary kind of beef during that era.
I bet you that the Von Bondies is listening to this podcast right now and just spit out his fucking banana nut muffin all over the floor.
I don't know which record store he works at, but he might. I mean, they probably let him listen to podcasts in the back.
Podcasts are free, baby. He's like, I'm listening to you guys. I love your show. If you ever switch to Patreon, it's not going to be awesome it for me sweet. Financially.
It ain't sweet for me if you switch to Patreon.
Yeah, what's your opinion on that matter?
Oh, I mean, I think Meg White is the magic. I mean, I also think, I saw somebody talking about this as well, which I think the White Stripes never did much for me except for the song Hotel Yorba, which I deeply love. Mm-hmm. But I think that the fact that they just outright lied to the press all the time for fun,
yeah,
is something that's probably what I'll remember about them more than their musical capabilities. Mm-hmm. which are being debated today. I think it's like cool that they were just like, I don't know, man, we're fucking, we're related. I don't know, right. Dude, you figure it out. is very cool and kind of from a different time.
Great marketing too.
Great marketing. But I do think they are as important, I think, in a lot of ways as a lot of those bands that are still around, you know. I think that they did the cool thing, which I always suggest artists do. If you can't die, retire. And then you're kind of cemented. You know, your place in history is cemented a little bit, whereas if you continue on and kind of make new bad music, you will sully your good name.
Yeah.
And you know, that we've seen millions fall to that.
Yeah, pull out, quit while you're ahead, invest your money in some low-yield bonds.
Yeah, yeah.
Not treasuries.
No one take financial advice from DJ Them Jeans, but, you know, you heard it here first.
But it's the same argument that people have about Ringo Starr and the Beatles. It's like, and to me, it was always like, if you're critical of something like that, this, like, animal ritualistic thing, playing the drums and, you know, less is more, subtlety, letting other more important parts of the song breathe. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. That is such an, you know, that's a talent that you cannot teach, and anything technical is something that you can teach. It's like fucking, honestly. It's like,
oh, okay, and, all like, right, bro,
where'd you learn how to fuck? Where'd you learn
all
how
right
to fuck?
Bruno Mars, relax.
You
all
have
right.
to know. It's just inertly in you. And if you're critical of somebody like that who, like, doesn't drum very well,
yeah, you
like,
got you're swagless yourself.
You ain't fucking.
I wanted to give a congratulations to another friend of the show, Lauren Sherman, on her new gig at Puck.
Yeah.
She's starting a new fashion newsletter over at Puck. It was announced today. WWD. If you don't subscribe to Puck, if you don't care about media or Hollywood news, I don't really know why you're listening to this podcast.
A big Puck plug, Chris. Are we getting paid for any of this horse shit?
No.
First one's free.
And also, I want to support Lauren. Lauren's done a lot. Lauren has been very supportive of us and been a friend for a long time. And she's brilliant. And I think her work speaks for itself. So if you have any interest in the fashion business, go ahead, subscribe to Puck, get signed up.
But not in the business of fashion.
Exactly. Let's make it very clear.
Let me be clear. Just kidding. Jason, the business of fashion is also great.
Also great. I ran into Emilio from Dewey Dudes last night.
Okay. Is that a free plug too?
No, but I was like, bro, what's up with the pod? How's it going? And he's like, bro, we kind of hit a lick on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, we started TikTok and all of a sudden shit's rocking. And I was like, God damn it. I didn't want to know that, you know, because I like, this is like the kind of facts that I hear all the time from like agents, you know, and like guys that work at Spotify, but I never hear it from a fellow audio creator. Mm-hmm. So to hear it from him felt like a slug a little bit, because it's
because you already knew it. You already knew it.
Exactly. But
just him telling you that.
Yeah. Him telling me that in a way that was just like, yeah, I mean, we gotta do it, you know. And I was just like, damn, okay, I guess it works. But I you know, I haven't seen any of their work on TikTok, mm-hmm. and you know, I imagine it's funny and good. But I don't know. Yeah, it hit like a ton of bricks, TJ. It really did. It hit that's worse than the YouTube punch to the head. This is more of a TikTok punch to the groin.
Yeah. Right in the freaking nards. It's kind of like when you hear that phrase like, You don't want to see how the sausage is made.
Exactly.
But you already know how the sausage is made. You've exactly. seen how the sausage is made a hundred of thousands of times. But you still
exactly
you can't help yourself.
We haven't talked about the Oscars, the 4.5 hour program sure. from the other night, where all the movies I haven't seen did win awards. It seemed like,
which is every Oscar technically.
I don't know if you had any issues with some of the trophy distribution. Did you feel like some of your favorite
thespians? I almost called every exchange of hardware on every 23 awards. I was probably distribution of hardware, brother. I think I probably got 90% of my guesses right on what was gonna happen. You usually can figure it out the way it's all politically done. Like, this movie got this award, which means they're not going to get Best Picture, and that was like the pity award
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of thing.
That game, like, yeah, that game is fun. Yeah.
That's a game that's been going on forever, but for this one, you could almost just tell, I don't know, like the way that they cut all the trailers and the emotional bits of it. It was a very, it sounds like somebody went to the Academy and it was like, all right, here's what you guys have to do to make the Oscars more entertaining and successful. As you continue to decline in ratings over the last, whatever, 50 years, you have to, like, double down on the emotional posting.
I'm
and,
sick.
Like,
I'm sick of the fucking emotional speeches, I gotta say. Like, I gotta, it kills me.
It's the only card they have in their deck at this point.
No, I know, it is. It really is. But it's just like, guys, we're not saving lives. You know, you didn't do something great for the human race. You made a movie that made a lot of fucking money. And I appreciate that it's taken 10 years to do that, 15 years, 20 years, a lifetime to do that. I know it's really difficult and really hard.
Sure.
But it just, I don't know, maybe it's because it's actors. It doesn't come off as super genuine to me. Ever.
No. Well, I mean, none of it's ever
maybe
super genuine.
Maybe that's me being a monster.
No,
maybe
that's not me you being a monster. That's likely you being correct, because people aren't. People will give a speech at a wedding because you're supposed to give a speech at a wedding, and it's supposed to be emotional, and you're doing the thing that you've been told by society and film and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Your entire life, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to make people chuckle, make them cry, and wrap it all up in a nice little bow. And there's a skill and there's an art to that. And the Academy Awards has turned into like
the highest
how
level
good
of
are
that.
You at doing that?
The highest level of that.
And obviously Oscar winning actors and actresses are going to be the best at that, but a lot of them are not. And then the Golden Globes is just like, okay, can you do that while drunk? Because I like drunk people.
which
is great. I mean, that's pure entertainment for me as a public speaker and somebody who gets paid to talk for a living. That part is, you know, it's like watching the commercials for the Super Bowl. That's kind of what you really want.
Okay, don't go ad guy mode on me. We do have
we do
have a guest today.
Fuck off.
Did you see the commercials though? Doritos, I mean, it's crazy.
Don't act like you're watching the Super Bowl for the fucking insert esoteric football play word.
I am watching it for the pick six, as always.
Our guest today. There we go. The 348 buckle hand flat wide out.
Pick six is a real thing. Our guest today is Eileen Kelly. She's the host of a very popular podcast on the excellent Friends of How Long Gone Dear Media Network. Her show is called Going Mental. Mm-hmm. You might know her.
I love you guys over there.
Her blog, Killer in a Sweet Thing. She just had a nice New York Times profile written by Ezra Marcus, who I actually met at Nomi's birthday on Saturday.
Beasting on Tumblr over the years as well.
Beasting on Tumblr. Yeah, beasting on Tumblr. But I want to talk to her about mental health and how it's the most overplayed hand in our failing society and see what she has to say about that. you know, you got to go to the source. You know what I'm saying? Like, she knows more than me.
I don't want to watch you guys do that.
Oh, How Long Gone, baby? We're back.
Oh, by the way, Chris, congrats on the Pi merch on Pi Day. One question for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever seen Pi?
I saw Pi twice in high school.
Okay.
And that's why I felt comfortable. That's why I felt comfortable working with Darren Aronofsky and Dylan over at Protozoa, and Jacob Price helped me with the design, but I'm very happy with it.
Speaking of pick six, I would have never called that. All right, let's get Eileen on the horn, and we're going to chat about all this and more.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, you guys, for rescheduling this and missing our initial recording. I feel
Eileen, let's talk about that real quick, Eileen, because I found it quite interesting, actually.
I'm so sorry.
It was really funny because Caitlin was like, no, we're good, we're good. And then she was like, actually, she's in a meeting. And And I was like, this is the fucking meeting. What do you mean she's in a meeting?
You know what it was? I was traveling last minute for work. So I was in LA and I'm normally in New York. And so my schedule just got like, sometimes with the time change, it just got like fucked. And then she's texting me being like, where are you? Why aren't you on the line? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I was in another meeting and I was like, fuck, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. We you know what? We're having you back because that's how forgiving and friendly we are.
Thank you so much. We're,
you know, I know that Dear Media Studios, you know, can be kind of demanding. So I understand that you were kind of, you're busy.
And I too have a little trouble with time zones, if I could be 1,000% honest with you. Eileen, I always thought that bark thins were a dog treat. What do you think about that?
Well, I think they would kill a dog because they're chocolate.
Well, I don't. You don't know that from the name, though. You know, you just hear the word bark, and I'm like, ooh, I want to give this to my doggy.
True.
What flavor are we working with?
Dark chocolate pretzel sea salt.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really fuck that. What other snacks do you keep in the house, just for inquiring minds?
You know, I don't have that many right now. I accidentally bought dried mangoes, but they have
chili powder,
chili pepper on them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I thought they were just normal mangoes. So disappointed when I got upstairs yesterday. I live above like an amazing deli, though. So like, it's 24 hours. I can grab any snack.
Do they know you? Do they get your mail? They got keys to your place? Like, where's the relationship?
No, they definitely know me, but they're not enough to have keys to my place. Do people do that? That's crazy.
I don't mean it in like a... I just mean, you know, sometimes I would like the bookstore that used to be next door to me. I would leave my keys there if a friend was picking them up because we had a nice relationship.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. But they don't have like a copy of my keys to come pop in whenever they want.
The guy from the bodega doesn't come inside your house all the time. That's weird.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
I thought New York was cool.
I also live alone and am a woman. So comedy podcasts hate me.
First of all, we're not a comedy podcast. We're a culture podcast that has laughs.
We're a lifestyle podcast.
I know, but I do feel like it's a little comedy-esque.
No, it is comedy-esque.
Anyways, I went on this comedy podcast a couple months ago, and I just got ripped online, and I was like, never again.
Well, okay. Welcome to hell, baby. yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Comedy listeners are mean. They're bullies.
That is right. What exactly were they ripping you about? And did they maybe find any...
Oh, man, they just thought,
was there any truth?
They just thought I was boring. And I was annoying.
Okay.
And they hated my voice.
Okay. Okay.
And just like a million other things. And so I was like, okay.
What podcast was this?
No, I'm not going to tell you guys. I'll tell you guys, but we have to beep that out.
I mean, we could find it online pretty easily, right? You can just search your name on podcasts and find it.
It was trash talk. And listen, the girls are so nice. It was nothing about them. But their audience fucking hated me. Hated me.
It's okay. Our audience hates me, so it's fine. I mean, you know, you got to kind of get in where you fit in with these.
Yeah, honestly, I went into that a little blind, and I think I was just
Do you listen to podcasts, or are you just kind of like, I do this, I cash my checks, and I'm out of the audio space?
I do listen to some. I listened to your guys' Brett Easton Ellis episode before this.
Because are you a fan of Brett's?
I am, yeah.
What's not to like?
Did you read The Shards?
I have not yet.
It's really long, so settle in, but it's good.
Okay, so you read it?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's got everything in a way where it's like, I usually don't like stuff that's got like suspense or like violence or even like super descriptive like sex. Like, that's not really what I'm trying to read.
So where does that leave you? What do you read?
I just mean I don't like scary stuff because I think it's stupid. Like, I think like horror is for dum-dums a little bit, because it's like that's just like the lowest common denominator to me. But I also, I don't like over descriptive like Lil Wayne lyrics. You know what I mean? Like when rappers get extremely sexual, I'm just like, you guys need to relax. It makes it sound like your dick is dry.
Okay.
Gonna need a second with that one.
Don't choke on your bark then. I'm just saying I don't think that needs to be like, I think it's harder to do something else. Like, I think that's the lowest common denominator as far as like rap lyrics go. It's a very easy thing to talk about.
Well, what about when like Shakespeare is being overly descriptive of a sexual encounter?
Oh, good. Okay. I haven't delved deeply into that, Jason, so that's something I can kind of look into once we
I have a lot of erotica fan fiction websites that you could check out for some very descriptive writing, Chris.
Okay, great. I wonder what kind of erotic fan fiction, like what kind of stuff are we talking about, Jason? Like what industries are we touching on?
Motocross riders.
Okay, good. So just like classic
hobbies. Helmet stays on.
Okay.
Sauna stuff lately.
Yeah, Jason loves sauna. How often do you go into the sauna?
Never.
Never?
Yeah, we talk a lot about the mental health. On your show, on this show, we talk about the physical health. What are we doing? Because if you ask me, Eileen, they're all connected in a lot of ways.
Oh, I agree completely.
Yeah.
So what are we doing for our physical? Because it sounds like your mental is getting a nice workout.
Other than hot girl walks with wired headphones, we need to know the routine.
What else are we doing?
I don't know. Having sex.
Okay. That's about as cool of an answer as you could really give, honestly.
All right. So, yeah, I was looking for a new Pilates studio I hadn't heard of, but I guess you shut that down.
No, I'm not a big workout girl.
I usually just get my back blown out 45 minutes every day. And that kind of grab a smoothie and I'm good.
No, but I'm like, I don't know. You could even like masturbate or something. What if I'm like, I'd rather have a euphoric feeling from that than like running on the treadmill.
I mean, I think a lot of people would, but maybe they don't quite have access to that.
Call me crazy. I'd rather be jacking off than on a fucking treadmill as well, Eileen. one might burn more calories than the other.
I like where your head's at. And I think
trust me, I've run the data.
I think the euphoria part is right, but unless your Apple Watch is showing you something different, I think that Jason might be right. I think that it might be, I don't know if the caloric... outpouring is necessarily equal in these things that we're speaking
about. I guess I'm just lucky in that sense. I don't really think about that, and I'm pretty naturally thin.
God bless you. Is it so you could almost say that a runner's high is kind of like an orgasm at the end of the day, then, from a euphoric sense?
Yeah, and I would take the orgasm any day.
Well, I mean, I don't. Is feeling euphoric something you think about a lot? Like, is that something you try to achieve not only with your body but with your mind through expanding substances or
no, I don't think about it like that. I don't know. I'm very like in the moment type of person. Like, okay, it's the end of the day, like maybe I want to go take a break now. Go hit my vibrator.
Okay, living in the moment. Yeah, but I guess you know, it's like chase, like that sense of euphoria beyond masturbation or sex. Like, is that something that you consciously, you know, is that a dragon that you're consciously chasing? Like, once you get hooked on that feeling of euphoria, it could come from a great Pilates class or having sex or eating a bacon, egg, and cheese, you know? Like,
yeah.
Is that euphoric, specifically a euphoric feeling, something that you consciously look out for?
No. I'm not an addict.
Okay, you don't need to throw shade. Jesus Christ.
I'm just kidding.
No, I think I understand what you're saying.
Or I get dragged by your audience.
No. I mean, that'll happen, but
it won't be because of that.
You obviously, the people who are listening can't see this, but I wish I could show you, like... Can you read this?
Okay, this says anal trainer set in a bag, and so this is a butt plug that has millennial graphic design packaging on it.
No, I'm not even kidding. If I let me just turn my laptop.
Jesus. Oh.
Okay, for our listeners at home, she's podcasting from, you know, a large kind of dining room table that you could only see a couple inches of the wood because it's completely covered in sex toys.
Exactly. There you go. That's my introduction there. That's the entire episode.
This is my life.
This stuff is sent to you by all of these brands in hopes that you will test it and talk about it, or just talk about it or post it, or is there some other end use?
No, I'm launching a brand. So okay. This is just my work on that. But it's like a new project of mine. So these are like samples and testing product and all this.
So you're going to have you're going to have your own line of toys and other assorted products.
So this
is
exactly.
I love jacking off so much. I'm going to have research and development all the time.
Exactly. Talk about the best industry in the world.
Podcasting? Yeah, I agree. Sorry, sex, yes.
Yeah, I tried to look for the podcast. Yeah, I don't know if... when you're doing this, when you're working on developing your own brand, is, are you thinking about the price point? Are you thinking about who your customer is?
100%.
Okay, so you want it to be like your peers, or do you want it to be everyone, or how do you think about it from a business standpoint?
Okay, so I'm pretty beginning stages on the production side of things. So right now I've been creating the studies of like, okay, where's the gap in the market? What do I want to add to the market?
Sure.
That kind of thing. But it's been really fun. I've done some like merch lines over the years. I've done little business things on the side. And then this is my first jumping head first into.
Now, do you have a partner that's acting more as a business mind, or are you the CEO as well as a creative director?
I do have a partner on the production side of things who is very big in the adult novelty space. But in terms of branding, creative direction, all of that, I'm kind of the brains behind the operation at the moment.
Sure. Well, you know your audience better than anyone. I think the production side is quite difficult when it comes to things that have to be made out of waterproof
totally.
Materials.
I know. Have you guys ever made any products?
We make products constantly, not of a sexual nature, but we make a lot of merch. It's a big part of our business.
Mostly clothing.
How long gone Eileen butt plug, honestly, it would probably do quite well. Jason, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the small one's blue, the big one's green, it's all there.
Would you guys test it out?
Look, don't try to Diplo Radikowski us right now this early into our own show.
Yeah, did you see that? Did you see that Diplo said that he'd probably had his dick sucked by a man before, but he's not gay?
No. When did he went on Emrata's thing recently? This week?
Today it came out, yeah.
Oh, okay.
What was the exact quote, Jason? It's really good.
She was like,
it's really good.
Have you ever done anything sexual with another man? And he said like, oh, I'm sure I got my dick sucked by a guy at some point in my life, you know? I'm Diplo, for God's sakes. And she's like, well, when you say you're sure, you mean you're like sheer sure? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, do you remember it? And he's like,
My follow-up is, have either of you gotten your dick sucked by a man?
No.
Or fondled, touched?
My dick has been touched by men a lot, but not in a way that I liked, I would say.
Yeah, it's usually more of a punch than it is fondle.
I've been in like a club and like had a guy grab my dick and then keep it moving.
Do you want to talk about that, Jason? Because you know,
yeah,
Eileen's good
how
at unpacking
that make you feel?
Unpacking trauma. And if we talk about this again on the show, Jason, I think this could maybe be cathartic for you.
Oh damn, I wish we had TikTok. This would be good for clipping. Nah, I mean, I remember liking the efficiency of the whole exchange. It was very much like, I'm gonna grab your dick and I'm going to say goodbye and we're going to keep it moving. The whole thing will be done in 5 seconds. You know what I mean?
I wonder, though, what the point of that is. Like, are they hoping that you get hard or you, like, grab them back?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
I think so.
Like a grope in the club environment?
Yeah. I do think that is maybe the hopeful end result.
But it could also just be, like, I want to feel if your dick is good.
What is a good dick? Like a big one? He wants to feel if it's like thick.
Maybe not thick, but you know, like if somebody is walking around and you're like, I wonder if they have a big or a small dick, you know, grabbing their penis area is a pretty good way of finding out without, you know, physically looking at it.
No, that's crazy to grab it without having conversation or without even flirting or like,
well, let me introduce
anything
you,
reciprocal.
Let me introduce you to gay guys, okay?
Don't act like you don't know lots of gay guys. This is pretty normal.
Yeah, this is totally normal.
This is
par for the course.
Would you feel more uncomfortable if they had grabbed like your ass versus your dick?
Yeah, because I don't have much of an ass.
Yeah, Jason's looking like a 2x4 all the way from his neck down to his toes.
Not my strong suit.
Would it feel more vulnerable if they like went for the ass crack?
Oh, like if they tried to like check my oil per se?
Yeah.
Oh, I would probably feel more violated if somebody tried to put their
yeah
whole ass forearm up my asshole without my consent. But a squeeze of the cheeks or a little tap on the tush, that's fine.
Well, a tap on the tush is classic kind of locker room style male behavior that we've been conditioned to be comfortable with since we were children, you know? Because that's like what, you know, when you're on the football field.
Started young.
And you score a touchdown. one of your homies, teammates will come up and give you a nice smack, you know, to let you know you did a good job.
Maybe with a towel too.
I'm like, maybe every guy needs, especially like early college age, needs to experience someone trying to go for their asshole so they know to like never touch a woman like that.
Yeah, honestly, perhaps. not a bad idea. Honestly, not a bad idea.
Most young, you know, 19-year-old dudes in college need to learn almost everything the hard way, no pun intended.
A lot of things. I feel like now they're not interested in men or women. They're just interested in their phone, so it's probably okay.
Yeah, I wonder if like rates of sexual assault is going down. I mean, people are less sexual than ever. So
I'm sure there's probably some data, but I think
think about the flip side of that too, though.
Incels?
No, the people who like it's harder and harder to get laid. It's harder to get laid, so I wonder if that would make like an increase in that type of behavior and like problematic behavior.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Well, Eileen, you're a single person in the dating world, right?
Yes, I am.
Is it hard to find people out there who are willing to have sex?
Eileen just looked at us like, bitch, you know it's not hard for me. Are you out of your fucking mind?
You're gonna make me answer this question, motherfucker?
Living in New York is a really unique experience. Like New Yorker,
it's a great way to spin it. Great way to spin
it's
it.
It's true,
New York, baby.
Though. But like,
you walk out the door, everyone's fucking. It's true.
You walk out the door, and there's like 100 people on your block. Or like, if I want to go on Tinder, if I want to go on Hinge, there's just like thousands and thousands of endless options. I think it's harder. I think it's less hard to find someone to fuck. I think it's harder to find someone to date or that like you appreciate.
Right.
Because there's so many options.
Where are you from?
I'm from Seattle. Didn't you read my background? This is you've had two chances to get it right.
Damn, she flipped her canceling on us. That was good.
No. Well, I mean I've read some background, but I don't need to know everything about someone before I talk to them. I think that kind of makes it boring, to be honest.
Really? You don't feel like that allows you to dig deeper?
No.
I'm like a freak. I like want to know everything about someone before I interview them.
But I don't think, I think we try to allow for a more natural conversation to develop, whereas I don't want to know all the answers before I go in. But there's merits to both sides.
Yeah, we like it to be like a first date, kind of, you know, getting to know somebody.
Yeah.
Do you have a producer giving you like research, or are you doing this yourself?
No, I do it myself. But I can like write a paper on all my guests, like a research paper. I do like a week of studying. I'm not even kidding. I think it's because I want to talk to them about such vulnerable, like intimate topics that we can kind of cut to the chase, and I can walk them through like, okay, you're from here. You're from here. And this happened here. And this is like what you do for work. But like, how did you get there, instead of keeping the meat of the conversation more like surface? That makes sense.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the whole point of your show is getting deep. Are you happy with how deep you get on the shows, or are you trying to always get deeper?
I think you can always get deeper. But yeah, I'm happy. I mean, people tell me crazy shit that they've also like never told anyone before. It's also kind of nerve-wracking sometimes. And I also don't think I'm the best interviewer, but I do think I've improved a lot.
How long have you been doing this for now?
Like a year and a half.
Well, I mean, it takes a long time to become good at anything. And a year and a half is not that much time in the grand scheme of things to master something that's so difficult. You know, it's public speaking with, you know, millions or thousands of people listening is very nerve-wracking, even if you're good at it.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's only going to get better, Eileen.
Wow, I didn't know you guys were so sweet. I'm going to come on here more.
Well, I do think, though, I think you're at an advantage now because people probably are prepared. They know what's coming a little bit when they come on the show. You know what I mean? They have an idea of what's about to happen.
That's why people say no, too, because they're like, oh, shit, I don't want to talk about my mental health.
Yeah, well, I think I wanted to talk to you about this because I think we talk about mental health too much, actually, as a society.
What do you mean by that?
I think that to an extent that there's such a conversation around it, and it's been prioritized to a point where that could be negative, and it becomes a little bit of navel-gazing and like self importance, and it's not necessarily healthy once it reaches a certain kind of threshold,
like self-diagnosing. Or can you
I think a common thing that we talk about on the show is that like if you become too obsessed with anything, good or bad, it can become detrimental or at the very least make you an uncool person. And you can become obsessed with mental health so much to a degree that you sort of only look at the world through the lens of mental health, and it can, you know, potentially inhibit your journey through life if you're guarding yourself from things that could hurt your mental health, but could also be very important to you.
Interesting.
I just think it's become this, it's kind of become a buzzword, you know, and I think that like, this happens to everything in our society because we move so quickly. But once that happens, it starts to lose a little bit of the power and a little bit of the meaning that it's intended to have.
Especially when people can make a lot of money exploiting it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know,
I'm just less focused on it being cool, though. Like, that doesn't matter to me.
Oh, it's not about it being cool or not. It's just about the conversation around it becoming insufferable to the point where it might affect what it actually means as a larger topic in society, you know? Like, even when we were growing up, it was not, I mean, it only in the last, I would say, 5 years, maybe 10 years, it's been like cool to talk about going to therapy, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, that was not the case. Like, there, and not that there should be shame attached to it, but I don't need to know that somebody goes to a therapist after meeting them for 5 fucking minutes. You know, like, that doesn't, you don't need to lead with that. You know what I'm saying?
But I do think more people are seeking out therapy than ever. And to me, that's a positive.
All thanks to our good friends at BetterHelp.
but it's more normalized. And like, when you meet people who like deal with serious mental illness, mm-hmm. who maybe wouldn't have sought out help before, and now they are, to me that feels like a win. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. No, it is. You're absolutely right.
Do I think like everyone on TikTok who's like self-diagnosing themselves with like different personality disorders, or you know, that becomes their personality, like I think that's more annoying. I don't know if I feel like that's really toxic, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I've seen the like firsthand effects of it actually like helping people and like raising money for like good hospitals. And
oh, sure, sure, sure. I mean more like a, you know, 24-year-old thinking everything that bad that happens to them is like a microaggression and they need to like talk about that with a therapist. That's what I mean. I don't mean people with real problems. I think that it becomes, obviously I'm not in the position to say what problem is real or not real. Of course, I'm merely a podcaster. But I guess that the kind of prevalence of it, especially as it applies to like the workplace, I think to an extent, is it's become a catch-all as like a little bit of an excuse for anything that goes wrong or anything that happens to you. It's become like a catch-all term, and I think it takes the power away.
So you think people are more sensitive than ever, and that in part makes them annoying?
No, I think people are full of shit and that makes them more annoying. Like, I don't think they're actually sensitive. I think they're like, I didn't like what this person did to me, and instead of being like, fuck you, that's annoying, it turns into, this person attacked me, that was a microaggression, I need to elevate this to HR. That's what I mean.
Okay, but to me, that just sounds like you're more complaining about like woke culture than like mental health stuff.
No, that's not woke culture, because it's the term that's used is mental health. It's affecting my mental health is the thing, is what people say.
Yeah, people don't say I need to take a woke day. They say I need to take a mental health day. I mean, we're days away from people taking woke days. But I also think, Eileen, since we're so much older than you, this is a...
How old are you guys?
I'm 40.
I'm 42.
Oh man, you're practically geriatric.
Fuck you.
Exactly.
I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
Also true. But my point is, from the dawn of civilization, older generations have always thought that the younger generations were getting softer and softer, and you sort of resent them because true. You're like, oh, well, when I was a kid, I had to, you know, walk 10 miles in the snow, and we didn't have blah, 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 and you didn't have the internet, and it's always easier for the younger generation. At a certain point, will people become so soft that they're not even...
I think it will swing in the other direction. I mean, I think that's how the world is.
Like with the rise of like Chad masculine culture.
Yeah, I think people will get sick of it. But to me, I don't know. I feel like that's not so much. Like people use those buzzwords, but they're not even using them correctly. Like to me, that's more woke culture.
Okay.
It's like walking on eggshells and yeah, don't hurt my feelings and don't.
But don't hurt my feelings feels extremely mental health to me versus woke. Woke to me is like you said something offensive to me. Whereas I think like having to be nice to everyone
but woke
is a different thing.
No, woke to me though is like it's not only you said something offensive, or it could also be you didn't say anything offensive, but I took it offensively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's fair.
So like you didn't even say anything to hurt my feelings, but I'm so sensitive that I feel like you that was an aggression or you did that on purpose to hurt my feelings. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. No.
Am I speaking in circles?
No. That makes sense. I think that both of these things are problems, however you want to define them in some ways. I guess
that's both right.
I guess my thing is that I just feel like the, I guess you're right. Maybe the self-diagnosis thing. I mean, I'm not on TikTok, but I know that's like a pretty big thing on TikTok, right? Like where they, like people are literally saying I used Google to sit and now I have a personality disorder. Is that like the level it's gotten to?
100%. Or like I have dissociated, like I'm just totally dissociated. And then they use the terminology completely wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's even with my podcast. And people will talk shit about me all the time being like, oh, you spent time in a mental facility and now you think you're a doctor. And I'm like, no, I've never claimed to think I'm a doctor because I'm not. Fucking idiot, and I know I'm not a doctor, but I can have doctors on my show and they can actually give you like I have this platform or this many listeners or this many followers, so then I can have like a brilliant doctor on who can spread real medically backed information.
Sure, like real stuff. Yeah. But do you feel like that's something you're compelled to do because that kind of stuff helped you? And it like you figured it out, or is it like, I guess I'm saying, do you feel like a responsibility to that or you just enjoy it?
It's, I don't know if I feel a responsibility. I think it's more so like, okay, this really changed my life and helped me. So why not like use this platform?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so many people who have so many followers or so much influence that use it for like bullshit.
Yeah, but that's their prerogative, right? We all get to use.
Yeah, or they have like little or nothing to say.
Yeah, but they might be hot, and you know that's worth that's worth something. Let's not forget.
They're hot, and they're like, yeah, use this blush.
Exactly. No, but I mean.
No, but it's true. But it's like, okay, that's fine. But then if that's like all I'm ever seeing, like, aren't we dumbing ourselves down as a society?
Oh, for sure. I mean, that we're the dumbest we've ever been, no question. But I think that, like, I guess I know what you mean. I just find it hard to like. I feel like it's my responsibility to ignore what I don't want to take in versus like if you have a 500,000 followers and you talk about shit I think is dumb, I can't make that my problem. I just have to avoid it versus being like, why are you using your platform like this? You know what I mean?
Totally. I don't think you need to tell people how to live their lives, but I do think it's a conversation you can have. Do you genuinely think this is important, or you're just cashing the check?
Well, no, everybody's only doing everything for money. Let me clear that up right now.
I don't know. I don't think so though. I swear some of those girls who are like crocheting online and selling blush, like I genuinely think they probably dream.
They love that shit.
No, they dream about it at night and they're like, I can't wait to wake up and like put out this new blush.
The fact that I'm getting paid to crochet is just icing on the cake. I would have done this. That's honestly the American dream. If you're just getting paid to do what you love, or if what you love is, you know, showing videos of how you take clothes off and put them back on, then that's like Chris said, it's your prerogative. But
you guys, it's snowing out my window right now.
Don't romanticize the snow. It's disgusting.
It is. It's fully snowing.
Have you been outside today?
No, I don't leave my apartment during the week, Monday through Friday.
What do you mean? Those guys from Bodega just use their keys to bring you snacks? Like, what do you mean?
I don't.
Like, you don't at all, or like only for emergency situations?
No, like I pretty much am a freak and I don't. What really do you?
No, come on. Let's. No, no, no.
I'm
no, no, no.
Serious.
Are you self-diagnosed agoraphobic?
No, I'm not. I'm not. Like, I'll get my groceries. I pretty much, like, eat at home. Last night, I had to go to a work event, so I left. But that's very rare for me, and it was a Monday. And I go out on the weekends. Like, my weekends are for seeing friends, going to dinner. Maybe I'll go out. I'll get fucked up. I'll do some ketamine, you know, have sex.
Okay.
So you're like just a classic working chick.
So Monday through Friday, we're focused on the grind.
It's not even the grind. I'm just like, I just don't want to see anyone. I'm like, if you
just don't want to go outside.
Yeah, I'm like, if you really want to see me, you can come over.
If you really want to see me, you could check out my OnlyFans.
No, also, I'm like, I love my apartment.
You've created a sanctuary that you love.
Yes, it's fucking expensive. Like, I'm going to milk it for all it's worth, and I'm literally not going to leave it ever.
Okay. I kind of understand where you're coming from, but don't you feel like maybe that New York is a city that is built on the kind of the social engine that we all get to participate in?
That's what the weekends are for.
Yeah, that's what the weekends are for. And I did that for years and years. And I'm in my phase of being a recluse. And I'm very happy.
Okay, but let's get, I need to get some more data. So let's think about this. What's our kind of record for days without leaving the house?
Five?
Okay.
And Eileen, we're not like peeing in jars or anything yet, right?
No. What do you mean? I have a beautiful apartment. I have nice sunlight. I have skylights. Like, I have everything I need.
That was my next question. I wanted to make sure that you're getting some proper Huberman sunlight.
Yeah. 5 days is bordering on, I'm concerned.
Is that potentially damaging to your mental health?
No, because it's not that I don't see anyone. Like I said, I'll have people come over. I just like don't really want to leave my apartment.
You take visitors.
Yes, I take visitors. Maybe I'm just addicted to staying home. I'm addicted to the comfort of my couch.
Oh, I get it.
My bed. I get it. My bathtub.
I wish I could stay the same. If I'm home for a couple hours, or I'm home for too much of a day, I start to feel crazy and need to like take a walk and like go outside and kind of stare at people.
Different strokes for different folks.
Of course, but I just think that there's so much action right outside the door. Like where Jason lives in the suburbs, you walk outside, you don't see anything. There's no action. You go back inside, you got your Netflix, you know, you're fine.
You know what? I live on a big avenue. I can sit in my window. I have like a massive window and I look down and I see people I know walking by all the time.
Okay, so you live in so
I feel like I get the energy.
So you're in jail. Okay, I got it.
Okay. Yes.
It's giving jail.
Just watch out for kennel cough while you're in there.
It's giving Rikers.
Speaking of, what about smoking cigarettes? Do we smoke inside the house?
I don't smoke cigarettes, but I have a belt. Like, I have a, what is it called?
What kind of ketamine addict are you?
How much money are you making? You keep describing this apartment like we're on fucking AD right now. You got multiple bathrooms. I have a huge view of a nondescript avenue. What the fuck are you talking about?
Wait, no. What's it called, though? It's a I have a fire escape. I don't smoke cigarettes, but if my friends come over, I make them go on the fire escape.
Got it. Okay, that's okay. And I don't want you to get doxxed, but is this in Brooklyn or Manhattan?
It's in Manhattan.
Okay, so Eileen's doing pretty good. Jason, this Dear Media shit is different, bro. Everybody I know at
Dear Media. Maybe we should make the fucking switch.
Everybody I know at Dear Media has got a G-Wagon and a nice apartment and like a hot husband. Meanwhile, Jason and I are over here fucking slumming it.
Do you guys do Patreon or how do you guys make
it? No, we make money through advertising.
Okay, and do you do it yourself or you're with a network?
We do it ourselves.
Okay, because I did that for like a year.
I mean, you got drafted to the big leagues by by the beautiful people at Dear Media.
And then I got a big, sexy, juicy deal.
Okay, so this deal, you know, like, is this something, did you negotiate this yourself? Did you have agents handle this?
No, I have a gorgeous agent.
Okay, so your agent's a baddie and she's able to negotiate.
So you have a gorgeous agent who got you a juicy, sexy deal? This is the horniest podcast I've ever fucking heard.
No, my agents are the shit. My agents are crazy. They do like, they did like Call Her Daddy. They did Emma Chamberlain's Spotify deal.
Interesting. What's your agent's name? Is his name Oren by chance?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Fucking Oren.
I hope Oren hears this. Oren was our agent for a little while, but he's no longer our agent.
Oh, no. Why?
But we love Oren. We love Oren.
Yeah, Oren's the best.
It sounds like you don't. I just saw your eyebrows. They just went. No, they just bounced around your face.
Oren doesn't know how to sell male talent is the problem.
Yeah. And also, Oren, he is a legend in the game for many reasons, but I don't think that How Long Gone was his flavor. You know what I mean?
Okay, so I work with Oren, but mostly my day-to-day, her name's Shelby Sheckman. She works with Oren.
Shout out to Shelby.
Yeah, Shelby is like my point lady, and we talk all day, every day. But yeah, I don't know, but I don't just do the podcast. Little known fact. I do like a lot of other things. I just do it more under wraps.
So you're stacking bread every way you can.
Yes, money makes the world go round.
She has multiple revenue streams.
If I wanted a gram of ketamine from you, how much does it cost?
I don't buy ketamine, actually.
It just shows up in front of my nose. It's so nice.
Yeah.
Take my signal down when we're done, and I'll send you the whole price sheet and stuff.
Are you trying to politely ask how much I make in a year? Is that where you're going?
He was not, but if you want to answer that, please go ahead.
No, I'm not going to answer that.
I just think that there's very few people that really can like make a really good living off of just podcasting. It's like pretty rare. I just like to know what people do, because it's, you know, we all do stuff, you know.
Totally. Also, I think we're going into a recession, and
yeah, they've been saying that for two years. I think it's
no, but I will say, in terms of just advertising, and I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I just know in the podcast world and like with Dear Media and all these places that companies just aren't spending the same amount that they were a couple years ago, especially during COVID, on ads. They're just not. So
yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think that sounds like something that sounds like a Dear Media problem to me.
No, it's true.
It'll be weaving in and out
for the rest of our lives as content creators. It's just something that happens.
Well, I think that it's such a new medium that all of these companies that have like hundreds of millions of dollars to spend on advertising were like, oh shit, like here, let's give 10% of our budget for the year to podcasts. We don't even know if it will give us a return. We don't really understand this world yet. And now I feel like they're like, okay, wait, we're not really seeing the downloads or that or the return. So that's just what there's a lot of articles on like Variety and all this.
Oh stuff. Yeah. I mean, I think that's all
the podcast world is.
That's all true.
Yeah. It was the Wild West for many years, and it was an amazing time to make a lot of money. And now that like you said, there's been some proof and data and, you know, 10 years worth of advertising. People are like, oh, I didn't make fucking jack shit on that Squarespace ad.
Exactly. But I just think it's interesting to see, like, when I started my podcast, what, like a year and a half, almost 2 years ago now, you can go the Patreon route where you're like, okay, let me get people who will listen to bonus episodes and they pay me like the monthly fee and I'm banking on my audience there. Mm-hmm. Or you go the route of, let me put everything on Apple and Spotify, which is the only way to get a network deal. So like, you know, like a Chapo Trap House or someone who's making hundreds of thousand dollars a month and they're doing amazing, they're probably not getting the same amount of downloads on like an Apple or Spotify. Sorry if this is boring.
No. This is interesting.
For them to go to Spotify or get a deal that way, it's going to be a bit harder because they went the Patreon route. So that was something I decided really early on of like, do I want to go Patreon or do I want to just try to get all my downloads in one place? So then I can do the like ad deals off the podcast.
We took the same road, Kelly.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
but you really do have to make that decision. And there's that fork in the road where there's a lot of pros and cons for both. And we're the same way, mostly because we feel as if the average person does not want to patronize us. And people are definitely not rooting for Chris's success. They're rooting more for me, but like, they're not going to financially invest and root in Chris's success the way that they would want to see you take off and see, you know, be a part of your journey, you know?
Also, I think that, I mean, we talk about this a lot, but I don't want to give back. Like, I don't want to be beholden to you and have to like be in a Discord talking to some fan, you know? I don't think you want to do that either.
Oh, I've done it before. I had a Patreon for like a hot second in the beginning, and then really quick I was like, okay, do I want to, yeah, build my following here and the money that I could be making, or am I looking more like 3 years down the line and like, could I get a bigger network deal if I did it the other way?
You have a view for the future. I like that about you.
Yeah, I've been working on a scripted podcast, so I'm doing a lot of different things.
Okay, all right, pump the brakes. All right, let's relax.
Leave a little money for the rest of us, Kelly, for God's sakes.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, how often you guys upload twice a week?
Thrice.
Three times. No, that's crazy. See, I'm once a week, so I think it allows me to allocate my time to other projects, you know? If I was uploading 3 times a week and doing video, because I do video too.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't find scripted podcasts compelling at all. Like, do you listen to those? I don't ever think about those or even look at them.
I like the true crime. And you know what? Even just like the television shows I watch, many of them, like 90% of them these days, started as podcasts. So ultimately, like, that's a 5 to 10 year plan of mine where I want to enter television, not be on TV, but just more like behind the scenes. I don't know if I want to like write for something or produce. And so I've thought about like what's a way to enter that space. And it seems like it makes a lot of sense to enter through broadcasting. So that's what I've been working on.
This is smart. Oh. Kelly, as somebody who seems so driven and you have goals and all this stuff kind of worked out, is it hard for you to find a partner in life?
Like what is
who's
my
sort of aligned with like, this yeah, definitely. Drive that you have?
I mean, I've dated people who I felt aligned with and like were equally motivated, but I don't know, maybe they don't want to settle down yet, or usually it's someone that's like a bit older than me.
Yeah. So have you graduated from loser dick?
No, I went through a huge year of loser dick.
No, I haven't.
I'm not even kidding. I actually did an episode on my podcast all about how I was describing how I was in like my cougar cradle robbing era this past year.
You're how old?
I'm 27.
Okay.
So can you imagine? What's like a cougar?
Were they legal?
A cougar for 20. Yes, they were obviously legal.
We don't
you
know.
You were trolling some local high schools? Is that what you're saying?
So you showed up to Tompkins with a skateboard and you're like, hello, fellow school children.
Yeah, I'm like, do you want to come back to my like beautiful apartment that I don't leave for the week? And then you guys can swap in and out all week long. I'm just kidding.
So, I mean, I think everyone in their life, you know, men and women who are driven and everything like that, everyone kind of goes through the loser dick phase. I think it's important. You sort of have to know.
No, it was like a calculated thing of like, okay, I'm busy with work and I'm very focused on my career and that's the space I'm in right now. So I just want someone to like have fun with, no strings attached, something that's not going to become serious. And so that's kind of why I was visiting that pool.
Look, every successful winner in the world has, you know, a hot dummy.
Yep.
Yeah, but honestly, I will say I have left that phase. I think I did it for like a year and now I'm over it. Because at the end of the day, I'm like, if I can't have a conversation with you, it doesn't matter how hot you are.
At some point, we're going to have a few sentences with each other.
Exactly.
It's good to get it out of your system at an early age.
I'm glad that it's not Eileen's flop house, though. Like, I don't like the idea of like your house looking like the apartment and kids. You know what I mean? Like, you got everybody just hanging out, kind of smoking, drinking 40s.
Oh, my gosh, no. I also think there's, like, an aspect of, like, a control element, too, I'm sure.
There you go.
Everything's on my terms, and it's on my schedule, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, you're a boss chick. That's what you demand out of these losers. Like, I don't see a problem with that.
I'm like, so you're going to come over, you're going to eat me out, and then you're going to leave. I'm just kidding.
I mean, as long as he can 360 flip down a 5 set, I think that's fine. I mean, I don't see a problem with that. I will say I'm interested to see your trajectory, because I feel like how long gone is getting on the ground floor of Eileen.
This is just the beginning of your journey.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes, because I do think that you will survive beyond the mental health boom and be able to come out on the other side.
And you're going to create and produce some bomb ass unscripted true crime content.
And make some amazing anal plugs too.
Yeah, really. Who can do it all? You know,
yeah, what is there to be done innovation wise in the anal space?
Well, you know what? I think there is a lot of innovation. I don't know if it's so much about the... Okay, well, I will say, so I used to work in sex ed for years. That's what I did before I myself went crazy and then pivoted to mental health. I was like, get me out of this space.
Okay.
And I used to go to... It's the largest convention for sex toys, and they hold in Burbank every year, and it's only for people who are in the industry, so it's like insiders. Sure. There's like sex shops, the producers of the toys, porn stars walking around. And you walk around, it's like 99% of toys that are made for women are created by like middle-aged men.
That is insane, though. That is insane.
No, it's insane because I'm like, why would I use like a dildo or a vibrator that's like made by like some 65-year-old dude who doesn't know anything about my vagina,
who does not have a pussy at all?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's reasoning.
Like, it's that, pretty.
No, it's not. I was gonna say that's pretty.
Not asking for a lot. So
if it feels like they should have been consulting with women on this, you know, in the 50s, not now.
It's crazy. Like, you couldn't even buy KY jelly over the counter until the 1980s.
Yeah. Really? I mean, that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me that much.
Like, it's really insane. So you think about like when these products were first kind of really launching for like mainstream usage was like the 70s, the 80s, and it was almost always just for adult novelty, and like for the porn industry, it wasn't for like everyday use.
I think that I also feel like that when something like this is ran by men, it's like they think of hiring women as like the face of it, maybe to help sell it, but not on the business side of things to help actually create the product, which is also stupid.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I've been working on. And like, you know, I have a mental health podcast, obviously I do well and with the podcast itself, but that's something I think about all the time. Like, I would love to get to a point where like I don't need to make a dollar from my podcast and it's more just a passion project, and maybe I donate like the money that I make to a mental health
okay, relax, we're not donating the profits.
No,
relax.
I'm serious.
We don't know. Eileen, let's come on.
No, I'm like, if this sex toy line does what I think it's going to do, then I will have no problem doing that with the mental health stuff.
Okay. Well, maybe so no one holds you to it, let's say a percentage of profits on the record. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Let's
say a percentage. Okay. A percentage.
Oren's not here, so I have to kind of speak for him. So just let me say.
Yeah, Oren's going to be like, Eileen, I have some thoughts. I have some thoughts on that. Because 10% of nothing is zero. But no. I mean, I think we all have that dream of like, I wish I had $5 billion and I wouldn't have to have ads on my podcast or whatever. Like, that's a great, great goal to have.
I don't have that goal. I'm happy to make money. And
no, but that's fair because people don't understand how much time and like work it is that you don't just like, we are not just going to record this probably and then you just upload it. Or maybe you guys do, but I definitely don't.
Oh, okay. All right, Eileen, relax. You know what? We don't even have a team of fucking little rodents in the studio in LA doing this work. That's DJ Them Jeans edits this as soon as we finish and it comes out tomorrow.
No, I listened to your podcast. You could tell it's edited.
100% it's edited. Yes. I make myself sound more, like, why wouldn't I make myself sound more intelligent?
Of course, but do you sit through the edits with the people physically doing it, or you just listen to cuts and give feedback?
I tell them exactly what to edit.
Yeah.
So it all goes through me. I select every clip. Like, if you guys want to continue growing the podcast, my number, and not that you're asking for advice, shit. But I'm just gonna give you this.
Oh, hell no.
But you should do video like that, just cross promotion, and how you grow a podcast is through video these days. It's crazy.
Eileen, let me let you on a secret. You're not the first person to tell us that.
I know. And I don't think I am, but it's true.
I know it's true, but it's
and like, you could literally just record the video off this Zoom, and then you just
the problem with video podcasts is they all look like shit. It's like Theo Von's fucking garage in Burbank. Like, no one, this doesn't look good. Like, this would look fine, but it doesn't look good.
I don't think you need to put the whole video out, but just having like a clip where you can see the guests talking and like you have the one moment.
Oh, I'm not arguing with you that it works. I know it works and I think it's fine, and obviously we'll have to do it at some point.
What's getting in the way from making that jump?
I want like a quarter.
Could you explain your therapist voice, by the way, Eileen?
I want like a quarter of a million from YouTube. That's what I'm waiting on. So you like, I'm just,
yeah. Like, our problem is we kind of just have to do things the hard way, and we, you know, our philosophy so far with the show is like everyone is doing one thing, and we try to figure out a different way to do it.
I'm confused. You want a quarter million from YouTube to even just start putting videos on YouTube?
That was a joke, but yeah, that'd be great.
But I think you would have to put the videos up first and see how many hits you get. And then you can also sell ads on there.
Oh, I know. We're talking. Yeah, we would love to get sponsored by Celsius, like your friend Call Her Daddy.
No, it's something that we're thinking about and considering, but we're just sort of waiting for the right, perfect way for us to do it.
Yeah, we'll definitely do it. I mean, there's no question we'll do it. I just think the easy ways look bad, and I'm concerned with the aesthetics of the program and how we present ourselves.
But do you...
That's all.
Do you post about, like, your episodes?
Yeah,
on, like,
of course.
Twitter? Instagram and stuff. Yeah. But how do you do that then?
We have artwork that is created.
Okay, but you have artworks, but you don't have any clips.
No clips.
I'm telling you, clips are where it's at. You don't have to put the full video out. I know I'm gonna be annoying, but whatever. I'm just telling you.
No, it's true.
You'll thank me later when you start doing clips. I better have like a little thank you note on the bottom of it.
Okay,
we're gonna call it Kelly's clips, and you're gonna get 50%.
Don't try to. Yeah, you've been hanging out with these UTA guys too much. You're trying to get a cut of our show. I don't like this.
No, I don't want any money. I just want to thank you.
Okay, I can consider.
You can send me an edible arrangement.
Okay. Okay.
Done and done.
Deal.
I've never eaten one, but maybe I'll have to have my next Tompkins boy bring me one.
You're going to have to give the guy your credit card to get an edible arrangement for you, though, so that kind of takes the fun out of it, you know?
No, you know what? They can make me one. How about that? They can cut the pineapple themselves.
The true broke boy way. Hey, babe, I like got you this card. I drew it.
I got you a deconstructed edible arrangement. It's mostly
sliced
just fruit.
Mango from fucking Whole Foods.
No, honestly, the chocolate dip pineapple from Edible Arrangements, it's low key pretty good. It's better than you think it's going to be.
Wait, I can't believe it. In what context have you eaten an edible arrangement?
I don't remember. I did not receive it. I mean, I must have been in like someone's office and they had it sitting there, like they had just got it, and I was like, when am I ever going to get the chance again to try an edible? You know.
I mean, that's true. Yeah, you never eat edibles. Eileen, thank you for joining us. How Long Gone is our podcast. Your podcast is called Going Mental.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Can't wait to see your guys' video clip soon.
Don't worry. We'll be
directed
sure.
Directed by Eileen Kelly.
Yeah, this is your first foray into film and TV, is directing us.
This is Eileen's first Oscar nomination for cinematography in a podcast. Paid or unpaid.
Thank you.
All right, Eileen, thank you for taking the time to pod.
Thank you.
We're glad that it worked out and we were able to make it happen.
Thank you so much.
Always late but worth the wait, Eileen Kelly. God bless you.
Okay. Appreciate you, Eileen. Thank you.
Okay, bye guys.